Okay, time again for another thing that's a couple things. Quick Questions 11. We've done a lot of shows, you guys. This starts with questions from you that came after we did the color show a while back. We will scene set this one on a car ride, and you're looking out the window, and there's wildflowers, and you think, ah, so pretty. All those colors. But what if somebody in the car wasn't seeing the same thing?
You know, how would you feel in a situation like my son was in? We drove past a huge field of poppies one day, and it looked spectacular. And my husband and I, my daughter, were saying, wow, look at that. That's amazing. It looks fantastic. And he just sat there really quietly. And he said, what are you looking at?
I'd like you to meet Marie DeFalco, marketing with Colorblind Awareness in the UK. Mentioned the color show where we talked about pigments and a little about perception. I got emails saying, can you explain color blindness? And I cannot, but she can.
So there are 300 million colorblind people in the world. So that's a large, large amount of people. It affects more men than women, because it's on the X chromosome and it's mostly inherited.
Moms are carriers, usually skips a generation, so her son had a 50-50 chance. Inside the eye, is there a way we can understand? Can we go from there?
So how I try to describe it in simple terms, people with normal color vision see through red, green, and blue cones. And you'll have heard the term red-green color blindness. And that's just because it's usually the red or green cones that are affected.
Either they aren't there or they're faulty. There's different types, different severities. You can be blue, red, or green blind. Blue blind is really rare.
I tell people when they're trying to understand how my son sees, because he is red blind, I'll say, well, remember at school when you used to make purple paint? So you would add some red paint to the blue mixture to create purple. But because he has no red cones in his eyes, then he has no red paint to throw into that mix. So anything that he looks at that is purple, he doesn't see the red element of it. So he sees it as blue. So anybody that is red-green colorblind, it affects all colors, the whole spectrum. So if they were looking at a standard pack of 24 colored pencils, for instance, they'd probably only be able to name four of those colors with certainty. They may be able to guess some of the colors, but they'd probably only be able to name four of them correctly with any certainty.
Here's another way to think of it. Colors that pop for you that really draw your eye may not pop for them, or it's different colors that pop, fewer colors that really stand out. And you can see this actually, because it is 2023.
The best way to see colorblindness is to just, there's an app called CV Simulator, Color Vision Simulator, and you can download that onto your iPhone. It is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I've got it here. So let's do a little tour around my recording booth. Three different options for different forms. So I'll just choose one here. And the pink sticky notes right here, they turn into gray. The blue on top of this bin of Purell wipes, the cap, that's still blue. That really stands out. But the green on my radio board, maybe you can hear some of these buttons, those green lights are kind of yellow. CV Simulator really changes your perspective.
Yeah, if you ask a colorblind person what's the most annoying question they get asked, it's always when somebody finds out they're colorblind and then, okay, so what color is that? And they point to the nearest object and it's like, well, they're not going to get it, are they?
Yeah, that color, they've never seen it.
Having said that, from a very early age, we tell children the grass is green, the sky is blue, the fire engine's red. So colorblind people learn very early on to kind of adapt, if you like.
Speaking of adapting, lots of that, or trying to, this is where people who kind of design our world, what we see, well, they can help.
If you've got a graph or a pie chart or something like that, or some kind of information, you want to be putting a secondary label on there, a number, or a letter, or pattern, or hatching, something that the colorblind person can identify with. Examples of that, colorblind people all the time will complain about booking tickets online for the theater because the seats that are already taken are in red and the ones that are not taken are green. Well, that's just absolutely useless.
At this point, some of you are probably thinking, what about those glasses? I've seen them on YouTube and the socials. People put them on, they cry, they get so overwhelmed. Well, they work kind of. They're not a cure. Think of someone with normal vision putting on rose-colored glasses.
you would see shades differently with those glasses on than when you took them off.
And that's what changes. They create some more contrasts, but they don't recreate colors. You can't change genetics, but they can bring things forward, some things. They're also pretty expensive. So I'm curious, besides being more courteous and understanding about this and getting what they see, how do you describe to him what you see?
So we didn't find out till he was about 7 years old, and he came running into the kitchen with a lime green felt-tip pen and an orange pen, and he held them both up and he said, "Mummy, is this one orange or is this one orange?" And I was just horrified, because to us there is a huge contrast in lime green and orange. So my son has kind of asked since, well, how do you see, Mum? And I said, well, you know how you see yellow and blue as a very high contrast. They look very different to you. Well, so do red and green to me, or so do orange and lime green. And he said, okay. It must be a difficult situation. How I get around that with my son is he has his own Christmas tree now that's white, and he has blue baubles all over it and blue lights, and he thinks it's amazing. That gives him the wow factor. So, and I do actually now find myself decorating my home for how I know my son sees it.
That's a good mom. We're going to do two topics today. Next one is rain. A chance of rain. You hear this, the meteorologist on TV says it, or you see the percentage under the icon on your app. Do you actually know what that means? Because it's not simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a meteorologist, we probably don't do the best job explaining it. So it's like, no matter who I talk to, my wife, all the way to like an emergency manager and everyone in between, there's always a little frown or a little look of confusion.
That's Alex Tardy, National Weather Service in San Diego. We think this should be easy, but again, it's not. So most people think it means 40% chance that it's going to rain, 60% chance that it won't, right? That seems logical. Or maybe it's going to rain for 40% of the day if we have a 40% chance. Both of those are wrong.
It doesn't inherently indicate how long it's going to rain, nor does it indicate how hard it's going to rain.
So what does it indicate? Not too much. Basically, rain's expected. Ground's going to get wet. It's not a lot, but something.
Actual rain on the ground that forms a little puddle. There's X percentage, or there's a 40% chance that you're going to have a wet ground, a small puddle. A picnic will probably be canceled. A baseball game, you know, the bases would get slippery. And that's all we're saying. And it's actually technically 0.01 inches.
Which it usually doesn't say, because who takes out a ruler? But that's step one. You get a puddle, at least a puddle. Not very deep, but it is there. We're not done, though. This is also a puddle in the forecast area.
You hear people say, well, it didn't rain in my backyard. Oh, well, it poured in mine. And the area is defined subjectively. It could be your backyard. So it could be my backyard. It could be an entire county, entire metro LA.
So they're assuming you understand the puddle thing and the area you're forecast for, which I don't know. So you're picking up what I'm saying here? A lot of us are not going to know what to do with that number, because it's really hard to figure out what that number actually means. How did this happen? Well, it was one of those things that used to be more for them than for us, but it kept getting used for us, and now we're stuck.
And so it's something that's evolved, but yet hasn't really evolved. And you go to your phone app, you know, I see numbers like 17%. And I'm like, really? Well, what does that mean anything to anyone?
Doesn't mean a thing to me.
It's not simple talk.
Again, a puddle will appear somewhere in your forecast area, which could be your whole county or even larger. So good luck, everyone. Sometimes things just make no sense. That's it for this week. Questions, send them in. I've got questions at odyssey.com. New shows on Thursdays.